I wish I had math classes like the math that we teach. Like, we have an auto-save money class. It teaches you all about, like, savings and how to, like, you know, do different things with your money so that it's working for you and not against you. And, like, how you start a retirement plan early, which I still don't fully understand. But our students know, and they're teaching me about it all the time, which I think is great.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Julia Mock. Julia is the senior advisor and impact coordinator at Pathways High School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Julia, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, tell everybody a little bit about your role and what is happening at Pathways High.
I would love to. So Pathways High is a charter school with UW-Milwaukee. It is a project-based learning school, or PBL for short. So basically, instead of teachers talking at students for 45 minutes to an hour, our students are doing real hands-on learning in the classroom all the time. So it's anything from learning how to build a boat. So basically, like, learning the math and the woodworking behind making an actual physical wooden boat. And then they take it out in the water and see if it floats or sinks. It's great. We've also done things like teaching students how to build a motorcycle, or let's take the emotions that you're feeling every day and build it into various, like, art projects. Really helping our students express not only their emotions and feelings, but also their interests, and taking that and rolling with that. And then in their senior year, they come to me and I help them in their next steps, whether that's making sure that they graduate on time, making sure that they have the right credits, but it's also helping them with that career and college exploration. So we take them on various college tours, business tours, to help them kind of figure out, okay, like, what do you want to do after this? Some of our students know right away, and that's great. Some don't. And so they choose to do an optional fifth year that we call our impact year, where they actually stay with me for an additional year. And we give them dual college credit through either UW-Milwaukee or MATC, or Milwaukee Area Technical College. And we give them 6 free credits each semester to go and explore, like, what do you want to do? Because most of our seniors, as most adults even know, you don't know what you want to do growing up. You don't know what you want to do coming out of high school. You're 18. You're barely an adult. And you have to make this huge decision. So we developed this impact program to kind of give students that extra year to explore colleges. Some of our students will do trades. And doing more work in the trades and dealing with that. Some of our students will do more, like, internship-based. We try and get all of our impact students into an internship as well to explore their interests there. And then after that year, then they're able to kind of go on and be like, okay, I can be successful at the college level because I've been given those, like, social skills, those soft skills that we as adults and as a society, I think, often just are like, oh yeah, those are innate. But they're not. I have students every day who, like, will skip class, a college class, when they first start out because they'll be like, I can't find parking, so I'm just going to leave. It's, like, simple things like that that don't allow, I think, high school students to be successful as they transition out of, like, being at a high school where everything's very hands-on, where there are people constantly checking in on you, to being a very independent adult having to wake up for time on college classes. Needing to know how to get around campus is, like, a huge issue that we have all the time. I've seen so many students to, like, our UW-Milwaukee campus and be like, okay, we're going to go find your class. So the first day you actually know how to get to your class,
right?
Instead of you like getting lost on the first day and then just quitting because you're
panicking, right? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. I mean, like, we as adults do that all the time of, like, you get frustrated and you're just like, all right, I need to come back to this, or I'm just not going to do this type of thing. So, like, helping them with those. So that's a big part of our impact program. And the other part is helping them, again, develop those soft skills. They check in with me once a week as, like, that foundational point to come back to our school. And they're like, hey, this is what's happening in my life. Here are the ups, here are the downs. Let's talk about it. And then continue to have them be successful. Because, again, like, not a ton of people know what they want to do out of high school. I didn't know what I wanted to do out of high school. I actually went to college for nursing and didn't do well at that at all, and then switched my career to education and love it. But if I didn't have my parents who were supportive of me, if I didn't have teachers that were supportive of me, if I didn't have a college and university that cared enough to be like, hey, we saw that you were struggling, we think you need to like take time to figure out your next steps. If I didn't have that, like, I would have failed out of college and, like, be a part of that statistic that shows that students aren't being successful going straight into college after high school. So,
yeah,
that's
it's so it's so funny you say that, because I went to school for a year. I quit for a year. I went back part time for a year, quit for another year, and then finally figured out that I wanted to be a speech language pathologist and went to school for 5 years straight. But it took that maturity to definitely figure out what, you know, what I wanted to do, and lost my scholarship after the first year because I didn't know. And I was 17 when I graduated, so I totally get it. Yeah. So how is the school funding it? I'm really curious about that, because it's like another year, and it's just curious. How is that? How is the, because, you know, we always talk about funding and all of that, but I'm curious about how that came about.
Yeah, so we're lucky in that we are a charter school, so we receive both public and private funding. So we have some grateful donors who are willing to fund us each year. We also, so I used an acronym before called ECCP, which in the state of Wisconsin is called Early College Credit Program. So we have seniors and our impact students who qualify to be part of that program, as well as I think our juniors, where students are students who pass at a UW school, so like your UW Milwaukee or UW Stout, your UW Platteville, et cetera.
That's the charter school?
It's college, like the main universities of Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The main college universities, yeah. If your student goes to one of those as a high school, you can receive half of your money back if they pass the class. So we get some of our funding back from that. We get some of our funding back from donors, and we get some of our funding from like state funding, because like we are considered, since we're a charter school, we do get some of that funding back. And then we also just learned recently that we got awarded a grant by our state. So
congratulations.
Yeah. So we're very excited about that. So between all those different avenues, that's how we're able to kind of do that, because we also offer dual enrollment classes to our seniors, but it's only 3 credits per semester. So, you know, we kind of balanced out because we know as a school, like being a project-based learning school, it can be hard sometimes for our students to transition from project-based learning to lecture-based learning. And that's why we have that slower transition of like, okay, we're going to start you out senior year, you're taking a basic like English 101 class. The professor comes to our school and I'm with those students to kind of help them progress and like slowly make that transition. And then in the spring, our seniors get to go on campus for the first time and get to make that transition. Mm-hmm. And then if they stay with our impact program, they then get loaded on with 6 credits per semester. And then that helps. We found that that really helps in that transitional phase.
So how long have you been? So you said you got the grant for 5 years. I interrupted you. I apologize for that. That's awesome. Congratulations. So how long have you guys been doing this program?
So we have been a school for 8 years, and we have been doing the program since our foundational start.
Since inception. Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah.
We were founded by 3 parents, all who decided, hey, this doesn't like work for us. Like, it doesn't work for our students. And we're seeing this huge gap in success rates of education. And like, what is being offered at schools isn't what's working for our children and like their friends. So these parents decided to start a whole new school and made it work. They originally were trying to go for another grant, I believe through Steve Jobs' daughter, if I remember correctly. And they didn't get that grant, but then were able to get chartered under UW-Milwaukee, and then we're able to raise funding that way.
I'm curious about the numbers. Like, what do you see as the outcome from? I love this. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I love that you guys are doing this. You know, it's just so, I'm sure the kids find it incredibly helpful, but I'm sure you're doing the numbers. Like, so what are you seeing as your outcomes from this program as far as like, you know, readiness and whatever, you know, I don't know what you're specifically tracking, but I'm just curious about that.
So, I mean, we're tracking based more on like, are they able to be successful throughout 4 years? Are they graduating in 4 years? Or are they getting the degree that they want? Because, I mean, some of our students very much quickly learn, hey, like, 4-year degree is not for me. So I'm going to get this education. Right, right. So I have one. So I started being a part of the Impact program. Now, this is my second year as the Impact coordinator. Before that, someone else was in charge. Franz Meyer, he did a great job and onboarded me and did all that behind the scenes work. But my first year of Impact crew, I have this one kid that very always sharply stays in my mind. He went to MATC, which is a 2-year college. And he's like, I don't want to do the full 2 years. He's like, I want a certification and be done. Cool. Great. So he got a certification in automated building systems, which I to this day do not fully understand what you do. But you program different like automated systems within buildings. Cool. Great. But he comes back to me every once in a while and tells me, oh, yeah, I make like 80K now. And I'm like, okay, cool. Great. I love steak dinners and tips. So like some of our students learn very quickly, like I'm not going to fit for a 2-year program, or I'm not fit for 4 years. So I'm going to get a certification. I'm going to be successful in a different way that is non-traditional. And like, I think that is also a very powerful, passionate thing. I think also our school sets our students up for success in that we also have a thing called defense, which is where as juniors, because we don't do tests, instead we do projects. So as juniors, all of our juniors have to do what's called defense, or we call it defending. Basically, they take a project that they have done in a class before and they have to revitalize it, make it better. And they go in front of a group of panelists. One is a teacher. Usually one is a student that has passed defense before. One is an incoming or like freshman, sophomore student that hasn't done defense before. And then we have an outside business type person that comes in and as a guest panelist. And they have a rubric in front of them and they have to judge the student based on their presentation. Think of it in terms of like when you get a master's or a doctorate or your bachelor's, where you have to go in front of a group of your professors and defend your thesis. Same idea with this. So they have to do that.
I was going
to
say that. Yeah, it's like defending your dissertation. You're teaching them how to defend a dissertation. Wow. Yeah.
So I think that also sets them up for success. And then every trimester, because we're on trimester, so we have three, we also do what's called exhibition. So we open up our doors for about 2 to 3 hours, and we have people come through, and all of our students pick a project that they've done in one of their three seminars per trimester, and they have to present in front of whoever comes through our doors. So again, like building up that social skills, because again, at the end of the day, we've seen that a lot of places want people that can talk well, that can be approachable, that can be educated, doesn't read from a screen, can have those social skills to be successful. So that was also a big part of when we were building up I didn't build the school. When our founders.
No, but you're a part of it. You take ownership because it's your. Absolutely. That's okay. You're all right.
Yeah. But yeah. So things like that help build success for our students.
So I'm a special education person. So I'm going to ask. So how do you manage this with special education students?
Yeah. So we currently have 3 special education teachers in our school that help at the different levels that our students with various needs need in order to be successful, whether that's doing one-on-one, whether that's doing small groups, whether that's building on accommodations. One of the classes, so our English teacher had to take a leave of absence. So I've been actually taking on both of her classes. And in both of those classes, two of our special education teachers, and they literally just come into our class and help with that process. So right now I'm teaching PSAs, or public service announcements. So basically students are making these big poster boards that will go on a bus shelter. So like, you know how you go to the bus shelter and you see like the informational posters? Our students are making 4 of them to go onto a bus shelter to talk about like different mental health issues, or about trash, or about gun violence, or about, I don't remember the fourth subject area that they chose.
But they're doing that. So our special education teacher is coming in, breaking down certain concepts and ideas, you know, building out those extra steps that those students need to still be successful while keeping them in the classroom, keeping them a part of that project-based learning. We've also found, or at least I found, that for a lot of our special education students, they're able to pursue the things that interest them. So it makes it easier for them.
Yeah.
Like, have buy-in. Because, like, right. I mean, I remember I was a terrible student when I was, like, growing up. Like, younger me would be like, why are you a teacher now? And of all things. But, like, I wish I had math classes, like the math that we teach. Like, we have an auto-save money class. It teaches you all about, like, savings and how to, like, you know, do different things with your money so that it's working for you and not against you. And, like, how you start a retirement plan early, which I still don't fully understand. But our students know, and they're teaching me about it all the time, which I think is great. Or they're taking a class where they learn how to buy a car, which I'm like, cool. I just had to learn on the fly how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, things of that nature. But I think a big thing that helps us a lot is the fact of students are able to take what they are interested in and use that towards a lot of the projects that we offer. And then also teachers are teaching based on their passions. Like mm-hmm. all of our seminars are based on, oh, a teacher's just like, I just want to do like this cool thing. Like I taught in the past a utopia dystopia class because I really like dystopian literature and brought that to my school. And they're like, yeah, cool. Great. Run with it. Go teach however you want. Cool. Great. So I had the kids, they make a brochure that builds up a utopian society that they think is perfect. And then I go, cool, great. Like, you're so happy about this. Okay, now we're going to destroy it because this is like the dystopian part of life. And they're like,
wow. Oh,
okay. But like, at the same time, they're learning about like how to do grammar, how to like flower their writing and not just be like, this is a flower. Instead, no, describe the flower. Use your five senses. They're building mm-hmm. skills that they can then apply not only to English, but to like history or math. We also try and do cross-curricular all the time. So with my utopian dystopian class, like they learn like the history behind why we have the word utopia, dystopia, why people continue to want these utopian societies, etc. But our math classes also have English standards. Our English classes also have math, history, design thinking, so art, etc., which I think is also really cool.
Lots of critical thinking skills, executive function skills, all of those amazing high-level skills you're teaching them right off the bat. That's fantastic. So about how many students do you have in your high school?
So we usually differ from year to year a little bit, but we stay around the ballpark of like 150. So
nice.
We're a smaller school. This year, our senior class is 30 students. We're hoping over time to continue to build that out. We would love to get to 200. And then continue to grow from there. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. So I generally ask, I don't say I always do because sometimes it doesn't fit, but I am going to ask you one final question. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
That is a great question.
Everybody says that. That's why I keep asking it.
I think the big thing for me would be, so another part of my role that I don't get to talk about as often is our school is successful because of the business partners that we acquire and that we're able to continue to have building relationships with, whether that's using them as defense panelists, whether that's having them help us with our seminars, because again, us as teachers, we only know so much information, but we want to try and expand out as much as we can with our students. So we bring in people within their field to come talk to our students, such as our history teacher does a Supreme Court class where he talks all about law. He brings in lawyers that he's made friends with to come back up the information he's talking about. So we can't do any of that without those partners. And part of my job that is ever growing is going out into the community and trying to find people who are willing to continue to build or become a part of our school by having those partners. And it can be easy at times to convince people to do that, but also it's kind of hard sometimes to go into businesses and be like, hey, how do you feel about like having high schoolers come and intern at your business? Or how do you feel about coming and talking to like 30 seniors? They may or may not listen to you, but trust me, they're really interested. So I think if there was one thing I'd want to solve, it's finding that magic combination that would allow us to go into any business. Because, I mean, I have seniors every year go be like, I want to be a cartoonist or Miss Mock. Help me become like a meat packer. Okay, cool. I'm going to go find people. And like, it is half the time it's me going and looking up people's contact information and going to their place of business and being like,
wow,
hi. So I have a student that is interested in your field of work. How do you feel about like having them come to you once or twice a week? So if I could find a solution that magically just opens up all the doors to all the businesses and be able to connect your students to the things that they want to do 24/7, that would be great. And I think that would make us even more invaluable than we already are as a school.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great answer. Well, thank Juliet, you. This has been an amazing conversation. You guys are doing such a great job for your students, and it definitely shows. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about what you do or Pathways High?
So they can find us at pathwayshigh.com is a great place to start and look. Or they can follow us on Facebook. We post all the time about different events that are happening or if there's a need that we have at our school. We've been very lucky in that we use Zoners Choose a lot for a lot of our classroom needs, such as we have an amazing teacher. His name is Chris, who does a drums class. He is doing a robotic arm class, and we're able to get a lot of those donations through Donors Choose. But we often reach out on Facebook, on our website, to be like, hey, if you want to donate, if you want to help us, please do so. So I think those would be two great avenues to kind of check out. And we also put up videos of our students doing amazing things and the different adventures we go on with our students for our different classes too.
And I have a feeling this podcast will make Facebook over there, won't it? Eventually. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, great. Thanks once again for being on Brighter Together podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.